Hey, this is Rex Lawless, and you're listening to the Three Count Podcast.
Do you want to get live with me? Do you really want to ride with me? I'm in the club, baby.
Welcome, everybody, to another great edition of the Three Count Podcast presents Now Entering, and I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And you know, this is season 5, and we have 350-something episodes, and I would just hope you say it with me. I am your shepherd, because like your tribal chief, acknowledge me. But like every good sherpa, you got to have someone who's been there, done that, and can do it more efficient than you can. That's why it's never about me. It's about who's entering the ring. So who's entering the ring? You can find this man at Beyond. You can find this man at Wrestling Open, VCW, Remarkable, WWE, AEW, Chaotic, NYWC, ROH, CZW. He is the Spectacular Poseidon. He is Rick Rowland. He is the Rex Muscularia. He has the pecs. He is the Desolate One, Rex Lawless.
Hey, how you doing, man? Good to see you on here. What's up?
Hell yeah, man. Yo, first of all, I'm gonna just go ahead and just say I love the Batman shirt.
Thank you. Yeah. Old school Batman shirt, Adam West.
Hell yeah. Adam West was so lit. Like, he's like after let's see, it would probably be like Ben Affleck, Kevin, McElroy, and then Adam West would be like my three favorite Batmans.
Yeah, me too. Val Kilmer with the Batman Forever. That was one of my favorite movies, but not such a great Batman though.
No. He wasn't like the best Batman. I think what made him so cool though was that he had like the swagger of like Bruce Wayne before like Christian Bale was kind of like able to like pull it through. And I mean his Batman wasn't gonna change. And I think that's the biggest problem with like a lot of people. Especially with their Batmans. Like when Ben Affleck was Batman, they had that modular in his cowl, and I was like, how come no one else has thought about this? Voice changer.
Yeah, they put on the over the top voice, most of them.
Where's the Joker? Yo, but I kind of want to tell the story, right? So we've actually met at a couple different places, right? So I think originally we met at 1CW, and then we ran into each other again at the Wrestling Open, and we've met each other at Beyond, and it just kind of seems like we just keep like running into each other like for the last like 2 years. And I was like, we'll finally pull this trigger, man, get this thing done.
Yeah, that's how wrestling is. You see a bunch of familiar faces over and over again, but. Yeah, man. I'm going back to 1CW next week, I think.
Hey, shout out.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, I think everybody talks about, like, how big, like, the wrestling bubble is, but then, like, it is really kind of small because you can go somewhere and you'll meet somebody, especially if you're on the West Coast, you're probably running into, like, a lot of different wrestlers, or running the same wrestlers. But, like, on the East Coast side, like, I know I've been from everywhere from, like, Virginia all the way up to Maine. And it just seems that, like, I'll be in one locker room and one dude will walk in and I'll be like, hey, I haven't seen you in forever.
Yeah, you run into people, they're still active, they're still around doing their thing. And yeah, like you said, like you end up not seeing them for long periods of time. And it's like you've never, you know, like you see each other all the time when you see them again. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, hey, I haven't seen you in years, but we hit it off right away.
I love that aspect of like, and it goes with life too. Because when I was in the military, it happened to me. I was in Iraq, and when I was in Iraq, I was lifting, right? In the middle of like working out, I see this dude. He looks familiar, and I was like, I didn't know who it was at first. So the next day goes by, and I see him again. And I was like, all right, this time I'm gonna come say what's up. So I walk up to him, and I was like, hey, is your name Brandon? He's like, well, it's Harrison. Well, he was like, is your last name Miller? And he was like, he's like, well, it's Harrison now, but I mean, at one time it was Miller. I was like, dog, we used to play T-ball or like baseball together. And he was like, Cliff? And I was like, what's up, my guy? So it's funny because like you go anywhere and you just randomly meet that one person that you remember and you're like, oh, damn. Then you feel like you're back at home. So I was like, every time I see you, I'm like, hey. Yo, so let me ask you the question. This can be really kind of fun. Who is Rex Lawless?
Who is Rex Lawless? You know, I'm just a dude, I guess. You know, I'm just a guy. Love wrestling. Been at it for almost like 15 years now, pretty consistently trying grinding it out, just driving everywhere I can. Big into working out, big into lifting. It's always been part of my whole thing. I always want to come in looking like one of the best wrestlers, look wise in the locker room. Always try to bring my best every show, and just love entertaining the crowd however I can. I like to try to be adaptive, be able to do a little bit of everything, whether it be comedy, wrestling, like if I'm Pectoral Poseidon, be a little bit more goofy, lighthearted. If I'm playing the role of a monster heel, I like to do that too. I just try to be, whatever I could be that night, that given night, whatever is asked of me, try to perform the best of my ability, enjoy myself doing it, love traveling with different people, meeting different people along the way. And just trying to have fun now after all this time, you get caught up in trying to make it or trying to get to the next level. And that could kind of suck the fun out of it sometimes. So now I'm just trying to have fun every time, everywhere I go. You see me at Wrestling Open, I'll hang out in the crowd and after my match, hang out, have some beers with the fans, chat it up with everybody at the merch table. So yeah, really just trying to have a good time now.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I kind of want to touch on a point that you brought up, right? Like you were talking about how you like to be in a gym because you want to be like the best looking physically wrestler that you can. And it's something I think about. Like when I first got into wrestling, I knew that was a thing that you had to do, right? And I remember like when I was like working out and like trying to lose weight and stuff, like I got really small and then I started like stacking on weight again. And then I got to thinking about the important side of like what cardio and like just physically being able to pick people up and like bring them down safely, like how important that is.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, especially when you're a bigger person. That, like you said, I think that gets glossed over a lot, being able to put people down safely more than anything, because you'll watch some guys sometimes and that they just throw people around just with no regard for their safety. And in wrestling, especially indie wrestling, once you get that reputation where people don't want to work with you or don't feel safe with you, that could really hurt you in the long run. So you have to really look out for who you're in the ring with, and be safe first and foremost, especially as a bigger guy, because you don't want that rep where, oh no, I'm going in there arrest today. Better be careful, he might kill me,
Yeah, you see his last match, bro, not coming, man. He just up and dropped him. And,
crazy. Mistakes happen, but you just gotta try to limit as much as you can.
Well, it's like one of my trainer, right? He got picked up in like a vertical, and it's like when he was like first starting out, he got picked up in a vertical suplex, and a guy was gonna like, I don't know what the guy had planned, but he essentially just like let go, and my trainer like scorpioned into himself, and it was a brutal looking bump, and then he was like, "Yeah, I was messed up for like 2-3 weeks." I was like, "That's insane!" And it was like a dude who like just does vertical suplexes, but this one time he was just like, "Nah."
Yeah, and I've had a lot of injuries in wrestling, but most of the time they're caused by just weird things happening, like, oh no, I stepped weird, and then there, I blew my patella tendon out. Like I've done that on both my legs, and my bicep tore catching a dive, nobody else really has done. There was one bad one where I got poked in the eye accidentally, where I would say that, and then I detached my retina, and that was probably one of the only ones that was kind of out of my control, but. Most of the time it's just a weird misplaced step, a weird pivot that does it. And you just gotta, it's unfortunate, but part of it, sadly.
It is crazy to think that like in this sport, it's entertainment, whatever you guys are gonna call it. Like everybody was always talking about like, oh well, this sport is like, I don't want to use the F word, I'm not going to, but predetermined. And they're like, how real is those falls? It's like, it's real enough that like the simplest things will blow blow a knee out or it'll tear a shoulder up, right? Like, I was at a training session where a dude did a drop down. He popped his shoulder out of place, and it's just a simple drop down. And he just And it's like, bro, like those are like serious concerns for something. Like, it's just so easy to do, right? And I think about those things a lot, where it's like, yo, you gotta like look at your recovery, make sure you're strengthening yourself up, make sure you're conditioning your body to be able to take those bumps, or you're even like stretching like before and after your matches, so that way you're not like damaging yourself even more. It's crazy to think like all the things you have to do to take care of yourself to have a long career.
Yeah, I try now as I get older too to always stretch before and do a little foam rolling, just a little something, a little bit, have the massage gun with me, things like that. Do and injury prevention training, if you're, if anybody out there is trying to be a wrestler, do not neglect that. Like, try to get ahead of it before it comes back to bite you. Start to look into things where you're not so much just going for the look, which is important, but things that will prevent you from getting hurt, strengthening joints and tendons, and trying to, you know, not put too much weight on, so you're not carrying around so much weight in the ring and risking things. That's a mistake I made, where I was just putting on so much weight after a while, just trying to get big, but then before I knew it, I was 270 pounds and carrying around that much weight, trying to run around as well as do power moves. It just wears on you even faster. So,
yeah. And that's why I think for me, and I, you know, I've talked with them, and for those who look, Brad Hollister's episode is actually up. And we were talking about that same thing about like how when you can stack on weight, but then once you start losing weight and your joints kind of get alleviated, like, it, you just feel so much better, like moving in a ring or just running. And I was like, yeah, I don't think like to put on like 280, 290 and then be like, you know, for me, I'll say this, right? For being like, if I was like 280 and I was like 6 foot or maybe like 5'11, it's probably not looking well, like on me, right? Because then I just look like a giant ball of muscle. I would look like Otis, To be at like I think right now, like shoot wise, I'm like 207, 208. And I'm pretty happy with that. I was, you know, at one time I think I had like 36, 37% body fat at like 236. Like, I just wasn't healthy. And so I got into working out and stuff like that. And actually working out led me into professional wrestling. And then from there, I became a trainer so that I could work on foam rolling and stretching and like understanding how the body moves better, so that way I'm not doing things that are like gonna overly exceed like my potential and then like damage it in the longer run.
Working with trainers has definitely, that's been like the missing ingredient I feel like I was missing throughout the years. I was just trying to go in the gym and freestyle workouts or just use things that I read in magazines from bodybuilders, which isn't necessarily the best thing to do for professional wrestlers. But going to trainers who know how to structure programs correctly and have them just pretty much think for you or think for me now has been so much better. And I just have everything written out for me. Just follow the instructions and everything has been working out that way. So much better now.
And even if you're a guy, if you're a person that just like wants to learn and pick up on it and just try to understand, like, you got to have like those trusted people. Like, there's that dude, I don't know, he's always on every YouTube. They probably interrupt our interview every once in a while and put his episode on there or something, either before or after. But the dude that does a V-shred, that's like, you don't need cardio, you do cardio, like whatever.
Yeah, I always see that guy pop up. But he's in my algorithm.
I think about like Dr. Stepani, right? I've been following Jim Stepani's workouts for, I don't know, almost like 10 years. And I feel like he's just a dude. He just knows what he's talking about. You can understand. He breaks it down to the simplest forms. And then you can just figure it out from there. And he uses not like the other dude, but he actually writes science papers based on his experiments. So you can kind of like, you kind of like understand like what he's doing, but you got to find like a trusted source that you can go to and like follow along, so that way you're not like, oh well, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger said do 15 sets of 5 at, you know, 335 pounds for his Arnold press. not realizing that Arnold has been doing that same press for like 15 years. And like, that's why he's so good at it.
Yeah. I found a bunch of good personal trainers by me in Long Island, and they specialize in training professional wrestlers. So it worked out that way that, Stoked Athletics, and they run, Squared Circle program. They call it the Squared Circle program, and it's in, you could download an app, and it's just all on your phone, all updates every month, different programs, different, it's a mix of a lot of different things, like the athleticism, strength, body composition, all in one. So definitely could backing off the bodybuilding training. It's been keeping me going a little better, like less risk of injury, I feel like.
Yeah, that was the one thing that when I was living in Maryland, I had a trainer. His name is Bruce Lee. If you guys want to look him up, he's at Merit Clubs over in Federal Hill. Sorry, Bruce. Anyway, I hope you get some more business. Anyway, but he was the guy that kind of helped direct me into, because I was just like, I'm just going to go lift like 3 sets of 10, everything. And that's all I knew, right? And that's fair. You know, even when I was like trying to become a trainer, I was trying to figure things out. And then he was like, no, we're going to structure your program this way. I want you to do like one upper, one lower, but then also you're going to do one day of plyometrics, one day of speed and agility drills, and one day it's just going to be a recovery day. And I was like, yo, okay. And then I just watched everything change. And I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So talk to me, man. Like you said that you've been in now for almost 15 years. I want to kind of touch on this because everybody has one of these, and I'm sure you do too. What's the worst bump you've taken?
Worst bump. Well, there's a few that stick out. I trained at a school in Long Island, NYWC, and they have their own building. They still run monthly shows, and I just recently started doing them again. But they have a stage. They have like similar to how WCW had the ramp that goes straight to the ring. So that they built this nice ramp, you know, goes right to the ring. It's elevated above the floor. So of course, like we as wrestlers, we see it. We're like, oh, gotta take a bump on that stage, you know, stupidly. So I've taken a few bumps on that stage, and those are the worst. Just, I don't know why. Just because I've taken body slams on the floor too. So I think, and those are bad, but I've taken a few bumps on that stage, and I feel it for like 2 weeks after sometimes, and I will never do it again. But I remember one that sticks out. We do this match once a year, and it's actually coming up next month too. The Psycho Circus, they call it. And it's just a big, like war game style weapons, barbed wire, chairs, ladders, tables. And the first bump of the match, we brawl on the stage, and I take just a flat back bump on the stage as the first bump. And then for the rest of the match, like my back was done. Like, why did I do that? Why did I do that as the first thing? That was so stupid. So that's where I've gotten tipped off a ladder before. Like, you know how like Hardy Boy style, like tip you to the side. And I tried to take a clean flip bump to the floor where I had like 6 chairs stacked up. And as I was tipping, I realized I was too high on the ladder, and I was like, if I keep going, I'm gonna land in the crowd because the guardrails are kind of close. And I was like, oh no, as it's tipping, like, no. So I stick one foot on the top of the top rope, and I step off the ladder, and I'm like trying to balance myself. Somehow I balance myself and then flip bump off of the top rope through those chairs and just smash right on the floor. One foot like lands on the top of the guardrail. I look like I'm dead. I'm just laying there. And I remember the promoter running over to me like, you're crazy. What are you doing? Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm good. That's one of the worst ones. And another one similar, I think the Bandera, some fans might not know like what it's called, like where you run at the guy, he kind of helps you. Like, you know, a good way to explain it, like I'm trying to explain a Bandera. Yeah,
it's a sequence that you get when a person runs at you and you just like throw him over the top in turnbuckles.
Yeah. So Alex Reynolds, who also from NYWC is in AEW now, Dark Order. He gives me the Bandera from the middle of the ropes, and we had a ladder bridge from the guardrail to the apron. And I'm like maybe like 2 years in, so I'm still feeling fresh, feeling good. So I give it like such a nice big jump, and I go flying. He flings me up in the air. I go flying, and this is the ladder bridge. My body smashes off the ladder bridge, bounces. I bounce, and then like German suplex myself almost high on my head and neck on the floor. and then those are some that stick out.
Damn, all of those is just a bunch of suck. That's all I
did. And as a bigger guy too, don't need to be doing that necessarily. So I've learned that over the years, which I still get yelled at that I maybe do bump around or run around a little too much for my size, but is what it is.
it is interesting to hear people's like psychology. Like I kind of agree, because like I do agree, like maybe someone like with your size and stature probably shouldn't be doing a bandera out into the middle. Yeah. That sounds like a thing. Like I'm glad to have like people to like talk. Like I talk with people and I ask this question like all the time to every single person. I get millions of answers, but like it is so wild to think that when you're young and you're like, nah, I'm gonna go for it. Whatever happens, happens. Yeah. Like my favorite still, I think to this day, was like Kid Bandit was telling me about how he on the fly, they called a power bomb on concrete, and exactly
the worst ones.
I was like, that was a terrible idea, and they acknowledged. They're like, yeah, it was not my best move.
Yeah, sometimes you get too into it, the adrenaline gets flowing, like you don't necessarily feel it at the time, especially when you're younger. When you're younger, you do not feel it as it's happening. Like, it's such an odd thing to say. Like most painful moves back in the day, like I thought I was invincible. Like I couldn't even feel it in the moment. But as you get older, like I started noticing it. Like as you're out there in the moment, even with the adrenaline, I'm like, you take just a normal back bump, and I'm just like, ow. And you're just like starting to feel it more and more. So
no, I remember like the one of the bad bumps I took, right, was in training, coincidentally. And Sicken knows all about this because he laughed at me and it happened. It was like my second month in, right? It was like February of 2020. We train outside, so it's like ice cold, and it's like 30 degrees, so the ring is like stiff. And for some reason, I thought to myself, you know, it's a great idea to try to do a Kiritazawa's like giant senton splash onto the ground.
It like, looks so nice when he does it.
Yeah, and I did. Yeah. It didn't feel as nice. It hurt a lot.
Yeah, it bumps off the top. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, never again.
I just did on Thursday. I do the seated choke bomb, the like a sky high sit out, and I did it off the middle rope with Gabe Sky. He's on the top rope, and then I stand up. He stands up. He stood up all the way on the top. I'm stood up all the way in the middle, and then just jump and sit out and the landing. I'm sitting here right now, and my lower back is sore from it. Because it's just that's going into that seated position just jacks up your lower back and hips pretty bad. But yeah. I was willing to take it for that situation. I was like, all right, like I know this is gonna hurt, but for this situation, it's gonna be a big visual. It needs to be a big move. So let's do it.
And especially like with the wrestling open crowd, especially, you know, you're talking like 150 to 250, sometimes 350 people that are in that building screaming and like getting into the action, and you're like, I just want to reward you guys for like just cheering me on. And I'm like, mm-hmm. And then, you know, and just like you said, right, 2 days later, 3-4 days later, you're like,
yeah,
I'm feeling it still.
Because then I had to go in the gym and do deadlifts too. I did deadlifts like the next day, I think. So that's also part of it.
Well, I messed up my lower back actually on Saturday. It might have been Friday, actually. I also was deadlifting, but I was messing around with 225 pounds on a trap bar. And I was like, I was the person I was training was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get this. I was like, do you need some motivation? They're like, sure. Mind you, I'm going into this cold. Like, they have just warmed up. I'm going into this cold. So I jump in, I grab the weight, I pick it up, no problems, right? I look him right in the face and I was like, check this out. And I jump with an extra 225 pounds on, like, as I'm holding the trap. And as I set it down, I was like, yeah, I probably should have definitely foam rolled before I ever, like, because if I'm going to do this stupidness, I should actually be a little smart, because my lower back, like, I'm a little tight now because of that.
Yep.
But I was like, the things you do to help your clients.
Yeah, I'm starting to learn that now too. The clients.
It's crazy because, like, your clients, like, I think what professional wrestling does for you too is they do a thing. It teaches you about, like, the ability to connect, right? Whether it's as a face or a heel, it doesn't really matter. But you can take that skill and you can learn, you can teach it too. You can utilize it. I shouldn't say teach it. You can utilize it with your clients too, and you can get that better connection. And I think it's cool, man, to be able to, like, affect people in a positive way to, like, change their mindset.
Yes, I just we've talked about this at Wrestling Open when I see you there, but I just became a personal trainer myself, got the certification, got a job at the gym, so starting to try to get clients. And my first client has ended up being he had a stroke, so he's using a walker. Mm-hmm. And he wants to be able to walk without the walker again. So getting thrown right into it. Drop my little earbud, but getting thrown right into it as my first client. I have to pretty much help him be able to walk again. So that's what I've been doing the past, like, 2-3 weeks. He's been improving though, and it's been very rewarding to see that he's getting better and better. Gets, like, walking on the treadmill a little longer. He could ride the bike now, starting to be able to stand up and stabilize himself, doing some like TRX bands and things like that, and cable rows I had him doing the other day. So yeah, it's very rewarding. And you could apply a lot of stuff we learned from wrestling to the personal training too.
Yeah. I think for me, like, my first client I had, her name was Anne. And she was closer. I think she was like mid-70s, and she was just having trouble, like, standing up on her own. So she'll be laying down and she would need my help to get back up. And so we started utilizing more core work exercises, some leg exercises, and, you know, just teaching her how to, like, pull herself up. And then one day I went down, it was like July, we're talking like 7 months, right, of me just, like, doing this. And I went down to go pick her up, and then she smacked my hand away and she's like, no, watch what I can do. And she just, like, picked herself up, and I was like, I was so hyped for her, and that gave me such more of an adrenaline rush than, like, I don't know, it's equal to coming out of a curtain when someone hits their goal that you're, like, helping them build towards.
Yeah, you know, it makes you think, like, that you're like, oh, I'm doing something right. It's what I'm telling them is working. That's always good.
Hey, let me ask you, we're going to take this because obviously we're talking about lessons that we're learning and stuff like that, especially with personal training. But what's one of the hardest lessons you've had to learn being in the business?
It's probably like a cliche answer, but it's the highs and the lows, dealing with the highs and the lows. Because early on, I was like 23, maybe like 2 years in. I never really even left my hometown. And I got a WWE tryout. I got flown out to FCW at the time. It was right before it switched to NXT around 2012. And I thought that was it. I was like, that's it, Mom. I'm leaving. I'm moving to Florida. See you later. You know, I pretty much. So that's like a high, right? A real big high. But then the low came when you realize, oh, didn't get picked. You didn't get the contract. But, you know, I was young at the time, so I used it as motivation to, when I got back home, I was like, all right, I can't just stay in one place. I can't just be Long Island journeyman wrestler. Like, I have to go get in my car, drive, put the miles on the car, just reach out to promoters, start to network. That's how I met Drew back from Drew Cordero from Beyond. That's how I made that connection back in the day, which still to this day, still working for him, which is great. And yeah, that it's dealing with the highs and the lows, because you don't get too high when things are going well, and then try to just stay level headed and not get too down on yourself when things aren't perhaps moving as fast or as you'd like them.
I feel like that's a massive lesson to learn, is like patience has to be applied. And I like the idea that you're talking about, like, just staying level headed. I know for me, it's been like a challenge, especially moving from Maryland, where like I was getting booked like weekly, to not getting booked as often up in Massachusetts, but still getting some bookings, right? But you have to be patient, because you're like networking and building, and then obviously guys are like trying, if they like you, they're gonna try to find a way to get you into whatever they're getting into, and, you know, bring you into a storyline or somehow figure it out. Like, to me, I'm just like, it is one of those things where I have to every once in a while just stop, take a breath, and be like, listen, it's gonna work out. Just chill out and you'll be okay. Because people chase passion. Like, you know, if you show you're passionate about something and then you're patient and you're not really like trying to force the issue, people will always find a way to get you involved.
Yep, it's true. It's tough to do sometimes, but just keep working, keep doing your thing. And, you know, backup plan is always nice to have too. So it's, you know, it's just something else to focus on, take your mind off things. Like, I like to just sometimes, like, if I want to just zone out and not think about wrestling or, you know, just the other things, I like to play video games in my downtime. I feel like that helps me just relax and chill and zone out a little bit, not think about like, oh, what's my next booking, or why didn't I get booked for that? That's a big one. If you'd left off of something, you get that FOMO feeling. And then you start questioning, like, what did I do? Like, why aren't I on this show? You know, you gotta try not to think like that. But
yeah, I think for me, what it's starting to become now is like, because I find myself like, yeah, you've seen me at the Open a couple times where I'm just kind of like chilling and watching out. And so recently I started thinking, I was like, man, like, I'm going to find like ways to like get myself to stand out outside of just like wrestling. Right.
Yeah.
So like, not only am I like fluent in Spanish, but I also wanted to be like, yo, let me pick up another skill. And I'll tell you that skill after this interview. You guys will get to learn it. You guys will see it firsthand sometime. I don't know when. It all busted out for you guys. But no, I just think it's how do you make yourself, you know, how do you bring more skills to the table that other people aren't having? And I think that's a huge key to being successful in this business, is like continuing to evolve, but then like, what skills can you take from that you've learned in wrestling that you can apply to like your shoot life? And I think those are things that you have to kind of focus and work on. Everybody's going to be different.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of wrestlers out there trying to do the same thing. So you got to find something that separates you, and takes longer for some people. Some people have something click right away. Sometimes it's luck. Sometimes it's a little right place, right time. You might stumble on it, just not even thinking about it one day, and something just clicks. You're like, oh, wait a minute, that could be my character, or, you know, something like that.
Right, 100%. Like, 100%. Hey, so before we jump into my favorite part of the 3Count podcast, right, I got to add one more question for you. It's going to be a fun one. Seeing that you've been in for 15 years, you've traveled everywhere, right, up and down the East Coast. Big question for you. I need one do and one don't of the locker room.
I feel like the handshake thing has kind of died down a little bit. You know, I'd say like it's weird to say, because when I broke in, they were very strict on the handshake, right? Like, shake everybody's hand, go up to your veteran, shake their hand, offer them a chair if they're not sitting. But, you know, it's still just, you know, be a human being, be a nice person, still do that kind of stuff. But I almost feel like if you overdo it now, if you overdo the handshake, that almost hurts you more than it helps you. Right? Would you say that? If you're like, it just seems like force. You're like, hello, hello, I'm so-and-so, I'm so-and-so, hello, hello. You're interrupting people's conversations. People are having two conversations. You just like walk into their conversation and like, I have to shake your hand. You know, it is the thing to do. Like, hello, hello. That almost kind of annoys people more now, I'd say. It's like, they kind of just look at you like, I'm talking to someone, like okay, hi. Yeah. You know? So I think just be a natural human being, be yourself. If you see, you don't always have to do the handshake. If you see someone and you just maybe give them a nod, say, hi, how are you? You know, maybe it turns into a little conversation, you know, walk away. You see your friends, give them a nice dap, you know, hug, you know, but yeah, you know, I think the handshake thing, especially post COVID too, is kind of getting a little bit outdated now.
Yeah, I feel that a lot. What's your don't?
Just don't ever. Oh, this is a hard. I'm kind of blanking on the don't, but let me see. I can think of something. Well, you don't. All right. So it's a little bit like behind the curtain, a little behind the scenes. But this is more for like, say you had a bad match. Like you had a match you weren't happy with. Don't go right back to the locker room and have that pout on your face that maybe it didn't go like you wanted to. Like, don't start freaking out like right behind the curtain, right in front of everybody. Don't start. I know things get heated, adrenaline's pumping, but don't like go to your opponent and be like, what was that, man? Like, come on. Like, you botched that spot, you know, something like that. Like, don't start doing things like that. I think just be professional. Get to the back, shake your opponent's hand, say, all right, man, like, good job. I had fun. Are you okay? Make sure they're okay, because first and foremost, make sure everybody's okay. And then, you know, start discussing things you could have done better in like a nice way. Like, oh, maybe we could have did this better. Maybe that spot didn't go like we planned. Start to think about why. If you maybe take some responsibility, be like, ah, I was a little bit out of position, I'm sorry. And then maybe they'll be like, oh, no, it was me, I'm sorry. You know, so just think of ways to navigate. If a performance didn't go so well, don't start blaming people. Don't start going off in the locker room, because that other people see that, and that will hurt you far more than help you. Even if, you know, it wasn't such a great performance.
Yeah, I feel like the one thing like I try to do too is like after like a match or something like that, just I'm gonna go to the back. You know, I'll tell you, hey, man, thank you, whatever, right? And then I'm gonna break away for like a couple minutes, just kind of replay it on my own mind, and then I'll come hit it up with you, and then we can come chat about the match. Because I think having that time to kind of like break down, let your emotions kind of like mellow out, kind of learn a lot. I think every time I think about a situation like that, where like, oh, I need to go talk to him right now, I think of Richard Sherman, that interview on Fox with Aaron Andrews, where she was like, hey, how did you go? Don't you ever talk about me?
He's like, oh, yeah, right, yeah. Game, right? I remember that.
And Aaron's just like, okay, I don't know what just happened. Yo, I think about that all the time, where it's like, why would you approach a person after like such a high adrenaline rush? You go to talk to him, and he's like, you know who he is? Crabtree. Like,
yo. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
That sorry receiver, Crabtree, or something.
Just went off him, poor Aaron. I know that's your job, right? It's your job to go interview those players and stuff. But at some point, there has to be like that small gap in the window to allow emotions to kind of drain out, instead of just being like, "Hey, man, we need to talk about this spot real quick." Well, first of all, I just got to the back and I'm still selling. So, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah,
give me a couple minutes and then we can get into it, please. At least give me that. But I think I agree with you on that one. I also agree with you on the handshake thing, because I find myself like, I'll go around, I'll say hi to everybody, and I'll see like everybody in the ring like calling their matches, and I'll just sit back and watch. Because the one thing I want to learn too is, I want to see how the people call their matches and stuff, to kind of like listen and just kind of like learn. But then on the other side of things, I'm just like, hey, let me, I'm not trying to interrupt y'all. Just keep calling your match. And when you guys are done, we can shake hands afterwards and say, what's up? I don't really care. But yeah, I think that's important. Just be aware situationally.
Yeah, that's a good way to summarize it. Yep. Be aware.
Yeah. All right. So let's hop into my favorite part of the 3-count podcast, which is the 3-count podcast, 10-count questions. Mr. Lawless, this is how it works. I'm going to fire off 10 questions at you rapid fast. Whatever your answer is, that is your answer.
Okay. So quickly, quick answer. First thing that comes to mind type thing.
Yeah. First thing that comes to mind.
All right. All right.
We're going to put on imaginary timer for added pressure. Bing. And in the words of my favorite commentator, Mike Goldberg, here we go. SmackDown or Raw?
SmackDown.
Favorite cartoon?
Oh, Simpsons.
Pepsi or Coke?
Neither. No cola. No cola.
Hey, I like that. Favorite actor?
Oh man, I'm not a big movie person, but Jim Carrey, maybe I'll say.
I like it. Marvel or DC?
DC. It's close though.
Seeing that you said you're not a big movie person, I still want to find out favorite movie.
Pulp Fiction.
Let's go.
That one I know. That is my favorite movie.
Apple or Android?
I don't like Apple too much. I like Android. So for whatever reason, I'm comfortable with Android and Apple. Like whenever I see Willow has an Apple, or whenever I see her phone or pick it up or need to do something, I'm just like, I don't know how to work this.
What is this alien device I am holding in my hand? With this bite mark on the logo. Favorite podcast?
You know what? As a wrestler, this is almost blasphemous, because I'll just say it. I'll break kayfabe. I like the Dirt Cheap podcast. Let's go. I've been a wrestling observer subscriber since I was like 14, okay. And I never canceled it. And I still listen to Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer almost every day.
Nice. I like
And Willow. For those that don't know, Willow Nightingale is my girlfriend, and we live together. So she hates it. She does not want to hear it. She hates when people review her matches. She hates the star ratings, even though she has a 4.25 star match, I believe, from Meltzer. So I think that's a very, very good accomplishment, but she does not want to hear it. Whenever she hears one of their voices, she's like, turn it off. I don't want to hear it. But I don't know.
She doesn't like your match ratings.
Yes. But I enjoy hearing their perspective on things.
Okay. Nominate one person you will see on this podcast.
Did you get RJ yet? My tag team partner?
He's on the schedule. So I will definitely put that out there. Yeah. So you guys will get that interview too.
Yeah, RJ Rude. I met him through Wrestling Open. Very, very nice guy. We've been tagging together. I think we have good tag team chemistry that came along pretty quickly. And he's an interesting dude, because he's in a pretty good band. Always Grounded, they're called, and the good pop punk throwback, like old school, like Blink-182 style music. I think he would be an interesting guy.
Yeah, I like it. But yeah, I like that. I like that call. And then last but not least, my favorite question to ask every single person who comes on this podcast, favorite curse word.
I don't know. You know, it's weird. To be honest, I'm not a big curse person. I don't curse that much. And I know it's kind of odd as an Italian New Yorker. But yeah, I really don't curse too much. I'm more immature. So I would say things like poop, you know, instead of shit, you know. Maybe poopy type things.
I like it. Well, listen, those are all the questions that I do have for you. So the last thing I need you to do is let our listeners and our viewers know where they can find you.
So you can find me on X at RexLawless1. Instagram, just RexLawless. And I mean, I'm really just... I'm for the most part on those two platforms. I have Facebook. You can search me on there if you like, but it's more, I'm not very active on it. So I'd say at RexLawless1 on Twitter or X, and RexLawless on Instagram.
There you go. He gave you his Twitter. He gave you his IG and told you can find him on Facebook, but you're not going to really get much out of him. So
I'd say catch me every week too, or most weeks on Wrestling Open. That's weekly streaming show on IWTV. That is where, like, I would say that I am most accessible to be seen. So, and support, we just love would love support for Wrestling Open, continued support. We have a great time doing it, and this is going to be a big year for Beyond the Wrestling Open, so keep a lookout.
Yep, on IWTV every Thursday forever.
Yeah.
With that being said, like every great part of a wrestling match, we got to take this home. Because this is the 3-Count Podcast present Now It's Ringing. I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. But like every good Sherpa, it's never about me. It's about who's into the ring. So who's into the ring? You see him right there. Rex Lawless himself. You guys know what to do. Tune in to the next episode and be there. Or you're really just, you know, subscribing to our YouTube channel. Follow us on all of our social media platforms. Following us on Spotify. You're even listening to us on Amazon Music because we're there too. Or on iHeartRadio, whatever that dumb jingle is that they do. You're buying all of our merch on Pro Wrestling Tees or even for your wear. .com. You're going out of your way to share this with your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, your uncles, your friends, your pets, your enemies, because we love haters too. So you're doing that stuff, or you're really just kind of like waiting for this episode to end. You're waiting for the outro, and you're choosing another episode to listen to. Kawaii.
What's going on? It is Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And what we need from you guys is just kind of show some support, right? We want you guys to go to our YouTube channel at the 3-Count Podcast, go on to our Twitch channel, 3-Count Pod, or even our Facebook page, 3-Count Podcast, and just give us a like, follow, subscribe, even give us a comment, right? Do all that cool stuff. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your enemies, right? Or you can even come talk to us and just chat us up, right? Find us on Twitter at 3count_pod. Find us on IG and on TikTok at 3count. Go ahead and leave us those comments. We want to hear from all of you guys. We're going to keep putting on videos and stuff like that. We want to keep making this content better, so we want your guys' support. Also, if you guys want to, go support us at prowrestlingtees.com/the3countpodcast or even find us on foryourwear.com. Give us a support. Show us your guys' love, because we want to give it right back to y'all. So, in the meantime, between time, love y'all.